The following interview by Elaine B. Holtz of Lee Pierce, candidate for Santa Rosa City Council District 2, was recorded as a live broadcast over radio KBBF 89.1 FM on October 15, 2018, between 3 to 5 p.m. He was one of six candidates interviewed that day, and each candidate was asked the same questions. Audio engineering and editing is by Kenneth Norton.
Well, welcome back. You know, we're listening, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Santa Rosa and Calistoga, and we are doing a special election coverage. We are interviewing the six candidates for Santa Rosa City Council here in Santa Rosa, California, and I have with me my second candidate, Lee Pierce. Hello, Lee. Welcome. Welcome to this special program for the elections here that are happening on November 6th.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's always fun. I mean, I just feel so important just talking to you wonderful people that have the courage to put your name in and to run for office and to try to serve people. So thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Lee, before we start, you're another person who gave me a nice short intro. I want to introduce you to the people and let them know a little bit about you.
Thank you.
Lee Pierce is the candidate again for the 2nd District seat on the Santa Rosa City Council. You just heard John Sawyer, who is also running. He is a native of the North Bay, born and raised in St. Helena, California. He has been a resident of Santa Rosa for the past 30 years. Lee is a former vice mayor and city council member on the Santa Rosa City Council. He has achieved many accolades during his professional career in both the private and public sectors. I've known Lee for years. I mean, we worked on CETA together. I mean, we go back so far as it makes us both know we're getting older. He has worked for the County of Sonoma. He's worked for Hewlett-Packard, Santa Rosa. He's also been with Disposition Scientists Incorporation. He owned a gem company and a jewelry company. And right now, I know he's the CEO of, it's called TEOS, the Taos Group Incorporation, which is a Santa Rosa-based consultant firm. That's your consultant with small to medium-sized businesses. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct. I would just like to make one correction on one of those companies. It is called Deposition Sciences, Inc., and that comes from depositing thin film coatings onto various kinds of substrates, and some people think deposition is all about law.
Well, also, you know, I mean, the way I pronounce it is kind of interesting. Nobody would even believe I had a master's degree sometime. Anyway, as I did with all the candidates, Lee, we send out four or five questions, and I told you we're going to have a secret question, and you had a little bit of an advantage of listening to John Sawyer with what the secret might be, or maybe you didn't listen.
Didn't get to hear too much. I had to go outside. Some people.
Let's start with the first question. You know, right now, you know, Santa Rosa is going through many, many challenges. And how do you see the fiscal health of our city? And what do you believe is needed, absolutely needed, to improve it?
Well, first of all, I think the state of fiscal health is in decline right now. From my understanding, I think that budget last number I heard was like $156 million, and it was in a deficit of about $36 million or something in there into reserves, and that's been skinnied down to the figure being tossed around, I think, is $6 million or something like that. I'm not positive about those numbers. But nonetheless, there is a crisis such that necessitated the Measure O, which everybody remembers the other Measure O that dealt with shoring up some funds for police and fire and gang prevention. And this Measure O focuses on getting the budget back in order and being able to provide the services that the city of Santa Rosa needs to provide for its residents.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think standing on the outside, looking in, I have no basis to dispute it. I trust the leadership that's in place to make the decisions that best informs we citizens, we residents here in the city. And that is one of the reasons that I would like to take a position on the council again, because I do believe that I have a vast amount of experience, including budgetary experience, as a 21-year-old person just out of the military. I had a budget of $1.8 million and 60 people working for me in San Francisco, union folks as well. So I think diversity of thought, experience on a leadership position is important.
Well, also, when you say you had 60 people for $1.8 million, I mean, that's not very much. I mean, you had to struggle.
You bet.
You had to struggle. You bet. So, you know, there's been a lot of controversy, you know, an awful lot around the homeless issue. And that also has to do with the secret question. Remember, I said there would be a secret question. Uh-huh. Well, the first part of it is what do you think that the city can address with the home? What are some improvements they can make? I mean, when I look at you and your candidacy, this year running a second time. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have the expertise, and this issue was there at the time. How do you see it? Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better? And what are some of your ideas? And the other part of it is, and this is a secret, the one that you didn't know that I would be asking, okay. is that one of the things that has come to my attention several times, especially from a group called Homeless Action, uh-huh. about that what's happening is when they're going and breaking up these camps, they're being really brutal to people. They're not, they're kind of taking their dignity away. They're taking away all these medical, you know, these small possessions they have. And I don't know. I think there has to be a better way. So if you could give us some ideas. So that's a two-part to that question.
Yes, thank you. And it's a very good question. I don't know if you noticed I was reaching into my pocket and taking out a piece of paper. And that piece of paper is a list of the concerns that people in District 2 whose doors I knocked upon, a fraction of whose doors I knocked upon, I should clarify, had these concerns. And at the top of the list, what does that say?
Homeless.
Homeless.
Homeless. And then
homelessness.
What is over here?
And we're going to get to those, okay, if we have time. Homelessness is the number one issue, I think, in the city, not just the city, the region. And therein, in my opinion, lies the opportunity for the best solution to homelessness. It is not just an issue jurisdiction by jurisdiction. And what I mean by that, Santa Rosa could do a wonderful job mitigating the issue of homelessness. But then what happens when it pops up in Sebastopol or Cotati or somewhere, people come in from the greater Bay Area? We haven't done the job of mitigating this issue that concerns everyone within the region and probably the state at this stage. So my thought is, and I've tested this at some of the doors I've knocked on, and I had a meet and greet yesterday, by the way, and got good response to this idea. Developers won't like this idea, but I need to put it on the table anyway. The idea is to go through the region and identify footprints, buildings that could be rehabbed in a way that could humanely take folks in and provide all the services that are needed. And what comes to my mind are places like Sonoma Development Center out in Sonoma, even Chenate, the hospital there on Chenate Road. And I know it went through a bunch of litigation, and it's probably back to square one right now. But if we're looking at really good, serious, long-term solutions to the homeless problem, I think we have to start, as you said, Elaine, from the humane perspective. And if I were a homeless person, and anyone these days with the economy the way it is could easily...
It could be, you know, I mean, when you meet people and you see some of your friends, I mean, I had a friend of mine that suddenly became homeless. It was shocking. And it's not that they didn't have a job. That was what was so interesting, that they had money, and yet they couldn't find an affordable place to live, and they end up being on the street. They end up actually living in a van.
Yes, there's a professional woman in my neighborhood whose door I knocked on, and she was formerly homeless and told me that I am so fortunate that I was able to get out of it. I'm a realtor by trade, and I found myself homeless, but I landed on my feet. I've got this nice house here that you see, and I'm able to function as a normal quote-unquote person. But that example, I think, is not so uncommon. There are a lot of folks, as you mentioned, that are going through this.
Right, and also, you know, I mean, I was born in the 40s, so, you know, for us, homeless was hobos. That's how you
Someone
riding, you know, riding the trains. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing professional people. You're seeing all kinds. And I like that idea, the idea that put the human foot first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the compassion
first. It worked for the military veterans like me. I mean, when I was in the Army, that's the kind of thing we had. We had everything right there. Place to sleep, eat. We had dispensary. We had security with the MPs. Everything was there. And we even had counseling. We had a chaplain. And so...
Boy, things have changed.
Things
have changed.
Yes.
You know, it's really very interesting. Well, this mm-hmm. comes to our next question, mm-hmm. which, of course, is around money, homelessness, rent control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, there's a lot of controversy around rent control and the rising costs. What mm-hmm. are some of your thoughts? You know, what? How do you? I mean, I know there's. I believe there's an initiative coming up.
Measure N.
Yeah, Measure N.
And I support that.
You know, so that's one thing that's mm-hmm. happening. And then, what are some of your ideas? What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that. Costa Hawkins, I think, is the law that that had the restrictions on rent control. If you had a building built prior to 1995, you know, you were restricted on how much you could charge. Everything after 1995 was free rein. And I think the whole idea is let's get rid of Costa Hawkins, even the playing field, so that there's no partitioning off any of the inventory that's in a particular jurisdiction. And then what happens after you do that, Elaine, is primarily the real estate side and the contractor side, I'm not going to say all of them, but in general, they're going to be against what I think is necessary. Just cause is something that the local jurisdictions will have to decide. Should we enact a just cause provision now that Costa Hawkins has gone away, if that happens with 2/3 vote? Should we do that? Progressive folks would feel the same way, is that if we could trust every single landlord trying to rent, put food on their table, clothe their kids for school, pay for the maintenance and upkeep for their automobiles, and not drive them completely homeless or out of the area, maybe we wouldn't need just cause. But unfortunately, I don't think we could trust that all landlords would be that good.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you start. I was just, as I was listening to you and I was thinking about it, I was thinking that one of the issues that people talk about when it comes to rent, what they charge for rent. I mm-hmm. mean, we all have friends that have owned property, rental property.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always comes up is that they have a loan that they have to obligate. And in my mind, I think, well, you're lucky we'll set the rent. And it's just a thought that I had as I was listening to you, is that maybe part of the plan should be that, you know, so everybody is considered. What is your obligation in owning the property, and what's a fair rental? And they come to some sort of compromise together instead of, I mean, I'm looking in the paper and I'm seeing $2,700 for a two-bedroom house.
Yeah, I see the same things.
I mean, you know, I remember when I came to Sonoma State and I rented in Rona Park, I had a four-bedroom center mouse for $235.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it was, and that was, even for a student, that was very difficult.
Right.
But it has really changed. Well, thank you. Thank you for your idea.
Before the fires, there was a problem with housing inventory and rising rents.
A huge problem.
After, post-fire, the problem has been exacerbated. And as you say, for small facilities, the second unit variety built above the garage and all this stuff, people are getting $1,500, $2,000 for 800 square feet or something like that. And where's it going to go? We talk about Measure N and the initiative to put more housing on the ground. I support that. But I also want to see livable wages accompany that or precede that, because you can put the housing on the ground, but you can bet that housing is going to consider all the post-fire costs of building materials, landscape materials, everything that has to do with here's an opportunity to make money. And so if the workers who are going to build those homes and do all that are still stuck at the same substandard wages, I don't even understand why we're waiting till 2020 to do the $15 an hour. That needs to happen now. Probably $20 an hour now. I had a contractor tell me that.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, people have to look at the bigger problem on so many, many issues. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're down to the last. We're down to the wire, to the last, and I really appreciate everything you've said. I mean, it's a real challenge to run for office and to just think about all these different things, especially that are what's hitting our city at this time. I mean, it's not an easy task.
It's not.
So the last question is what do you want to tell folks about yourself? I mean, you were vice mayor. You were the city council. I mean, you know, now you're wanting to come back. What do you want to tell us about yourself and your motivation?
That. I'm glad you asked that question, because I want to get to that. But before I do, I just have to thank my endorsers, the people who, and agencies, I guess, or organizations who must believe in me to the point that...
Well, I'm going to have to stop you, because... Then I would have to bring John back.
And, okay.
No, so I'm not.
All right. Then I'll leave that on the side and say, folks, you know, go on social media, Instagram, Facebook. I don't have a website.
But also, I have a list here of many of your supporters. And let me tell you something. I recognize a lot of them. And thank you for doing that.
That's what I'm saying. But to answer your question, what I want people to know about me. And I really accented this yesterday at my meet, eat, and greet event that I had in Montgomery Village. As it says on my door hanger, and I tell them, I say, have you all received the door hanger? And if you haven't, here's one here. And the thing I want you to focus on are those three bullet points up by my face.
He listens, he learns, and he acts.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. When I first got elected in 2004, the first thing I did was establish office hours, because I knew people would not be able to tell their story in 3 minutes like I'm not here. and I understand from Suzanne Shepherd, who was the city manager's executive secretary at that time, I saw over 1,000 people at office hours. And I think that's pretty impressive that people have things they want to talk about and they can't do it in 3 minutes.
So you would say that what you want people to know about you is that you listen, you learn, and you act.
I listen, I learn, I act. And people back from high school are weighing in on this election. I had the guy that I beat for student body president, for God's sakes, conservative Republican, said, Lee, I'm going to give you $100, okay? Well, he didn't tell me how much it was. It turned out to be $100. And he wrote a little letter. He says, you know, I'm a staunch conservative Republican. I went to school with you, ran against you, but I want you to beat your opponent as badly as you beat me.
Well,
He said, I want you to make Santa Rosa great again. That's what he said.
Well, Lee Pierce, I want to thank you so much for coming in. I want to congratulate you on running again and wish you much luck. I mean, this is, and it's a blessing right now. I'm sure you're seeing it very differently with district elections versus having to go schlep through the whole city.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I look forward to coming back again once this is all over, and maybe we can do a perspective on the whole thing.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Wishing you much success, Lee.
Thank you so much,
and
Elaine.
Thank you, my dear.
All right.
Wow, I mean, so many good people. It's going to be a hard decision to make, that's for sure, you know. But so far, we've listened to two candidates, that John Sawyer, the first one, who's running in the second district, and Lee Pierce, who's also running in the second district. And now we have Tom Swalham coming into the studio. And so until he gets here and relaxes and everything, we're going to play the second half of that song. It's called Vote. And folks, remember, if you don't vote, your vote doesn't count. And I have one rule. When someone complains to me, I say, hey, did you vote? And when they say no, I don't even want to listen. Anyway, let's listen to the second half of the song, Vote, and then we're going to be talking with Tom Swalham.
You got to vote, 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 vote. Get out and vote, vote. 'Cause if you don't